1. Ford Decker balanced on his elbows with his stomach dragging in the wet grass and wondered how he'd managed to pull this shit assignment. Adjusting his night goggles, he stared across the open field at the brick building sitting below him at the bottom of the slope.
Target approximately 100 meters at your center, across the heath.
Harlan Ross's Oxford-educated British accent cut across the still night. As one of the supervisors of Alliance, Harlan waited and watched from 3,600 miles away in the warehouse, the team's high-tech operations center outside Washington, D.C., but his voice echoed in the silver disc in Ford's ear. One word grabbed Ford's attention. Heath? Weston Brown, West to anyone who knew him for more than 2 seconds and wanted to breathe for a third, didn't make a noise as he held still in the pile of leaves to Ford's right.
Sounds made up. Fucking Brits.
Ford mumbled the comment. Harlan had landed at Alliance, the newly formed Joint Intelligence Task Force, hand-picked from members of the CIA and MI6, and independent of both agencies, from the Special Reconnaissance Regiment, a division of the British Army with roots and operations in Northern Ireland.
He might sound smooth, but under all that properness lurked a nasty temper and crack shot.
Ford wasn't in the mood to test either. He turned to West, his number two on Bravo Team.
What exactly is a Heath again?
That will teach you to ignore the non-essential parts of a briefing.
Gentlemen,
Harlan managed to load the word with sarcasm,
it's the grassy open area of land in front of you.
Ford continued mumbling,
then just say that.
We have heat signatures on all three floors.
A low rumble of conversation and rhythmic clicking from what sounded like a keyboard played behind Harlan's voice as the muted sounds of the warehouse magnified tenfold in that cavernous room.
Limited movement.
Because it's 2 in the morning.
Prime surveillance hour, which made it the worst time to move, in Ford's mind.
Too obvious.
West snorted.
You think terrorists work 9 to 5?
I think we have bad intel.
According to the chatter we're picking up, the man renting that house is in the process of setting up an auction to place a deadly toxin on the open market.
Harlan could have been reading from the briefing notes. Since he possessed what he insisted be called an eidetic rather than photographic memory, the recall likely matched verbatim. Not that Ford needed a review of the intel. He stayed loose and kept the sarcasm turned to maximum, but he didn't fool around when it came to strategy and completing an operation. He studied, memorized, did whatever he had to do to put the plan in his head.
The terrorist's wet dream,
he mumbled as he shot West the side eye. Harlan droned on.
So, we have talk about a meeting in Yemen and a deadly toxin missing from a U.S. government lab.
West let out a low whistle.
That's a lot of ways to get fucked.
Ford understood the pieces, but they didn't connect in his head.
You're talking Yemen. And I'm looking at a scene out of a Dickens novel.
As if you've read Dickens.
West joked as he scanned the horizon. Fucking up what should have been an easy snatch and run was Ford's real concern. Tree-lined cobblestone streets and expensive houses, not to mention the freaky sense of quiet. No way would this high-end neighborhood tolerate strangers hanging around. This place, with the ponds and walking paths, had Neighborhood Watch Protected written all over it. Or whatever the British version of that might be. The man coming up from their right, watching the same house while stomping through the high grass, did challenge that theory. The careful footing raised a flag, but it was the gun the guy carried that ruled out an innocent evening walk around the neighborhood. So much for Dickens. Ford motioned for West to drop. On command and without a word, the big man flattened, slithering on his stomach as the wind covered the small amount of noise his pants made sliding across the ground. He shifted out of sight within seconds. On his own, Ford hunkered down, staying still until even his breathing slowed and the sounds of the neighborhood echoed in his ear, each one magnified and highlighted so he could separate the man from the surroundings. The grass crunched, and the thud of footsteps grew closer. Ford heard a click, as if the guy tapped his finger against the side of his gun. If he kept it off the trigger, Ford would have an extra second or two. Not that he'd need it. He had surprise on his side. And West. They could take on 10 men and come out on top. One guy wandering around as if he'd lost his dog hardly amounted to a real problem. Ford waited until the last second, until the guy's shoe came into his line of vision, then jumped to his feet in a crouch. Another step, and Ford stood, lifting his elbow and nailing the guy under the chin in one swift move. The gun dropped, and the man's head snapped back on a sharp intake of breath. Before he could recover, Ford slammed a heel into his stomach and sent him flying. He landed on his ass and sat there, doubled over and coughing.